Canto 4, Chapter 11. Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj to stop fighting. Maitreya said, after having heard the words of the sages, Dhruva touched water and fixed on his bow an arrow made by Narayana. Joining this weapon of Narayana to his bow, quickly the illusions created by the yakshas were vanquished, O Vidura, just like anger and pain are dispelled by the rise of spiritual knowledge. With the weapon that was given to him fixed on his bow, golden arrows with feathers like the wings of swans sprang forward that pierced the enemy soldiers with the tumultuous sound of peacocks entering a forest. Because of those sharp-pointed arrows from everywhere on the battlefield, the yakshas got terribly excited so that they, full of anger, with uplifted weapons, rushed towards him, just like serpents with raised hoods do when they wage against Garuda. With his arrows, he cut through the arms, legs, necks, and bellies of all the yakshas who came forward in battle. He sent them all to the abode above the sun, where all those who send their seed upwards, the celibates, are going. When he saw those yakshas being killed in great numbers by the man with the wonderful chariot, while they factually had not committed any offence, the grandfather, the Manu, in his mercy approached the son of Uttanapada together with the great sages in order to instruct him. Manu said, "Enough, my son. Stop the killing of these good guys who never wronged you. With this escalation of anger, you are treading the path of ignorance and sin. My dear, this undertaking to kill the yakshas who have not sinned is not befitting a member of our family and is forbidden by the sages. Surely, my best, you are aggrieved at the death of the brother you care about. But now, the offense of one yaksha has led to the killing of his many associates. This killing of living beings is certainly never the way of those who honestly follow the path of the Lord of the senses. Taking the body for the self, one is like the animals. With your meditation on the supersoul within all living beings, you have reached the abode of Lord Hari, who is so difficult to propitiate. You, this being of worship, attained the supreme position of Vishnu. How can someone like you, who, enjoying the esteem of the devotees of the Lord, always are remembered by them, how can you, who, as an example to others, are vowed to the saintly cause, engage in such an abomination? When one is of tolerance, friendship, mercy, and equanimity towards all living beings, the soul of all, the Supreme Lord, will be very pleased. Pleasing the Supreme Lord, a person being liberated from the modes of material nature and freed from the worries of his individual existence, will achieve unlimited spiritual bliss. Man and woman, evolved by the impelling force of time from the five elements of matter and by their sexual behavior, even more men and women came about in this world. With the illusory energy of the Supreme Self, thus, O King, the creation, maintenance, and annihilation takes place as a consequence of the interaction of the basic qualities of nature. The way iron is moved by a magnet, this world of cause and effect must be considered as being moved by the remote cause of the original and most exalted person who is free from the basic qualities of nature. Under the influence of the no doubt hard to fathom potency of the Almighty One in the form of the force of time, the interaction or disturbance of the equilibrium of the modes of nature resulted in this diversity of energies. The Supreme Personality exerts his influence upon this diversity, even though he is not the one acting. And in this diversity, he leads to death, even though he is not the one who kills. He to whom there is no end puts in the form of time everything to an end. He who knows no beginning constitutes the beginning of everything. He, who is inexhaustible, gives life to one living being by means of another one, and he, as death, puts an end to everything that kills. As death entering everyone's life, no one is his ally or his enemy. All the combinations of the elements, organic and inorganic, helplessly follow his movement like dust particles moved by the wind. Free from a short or long lifespan, like with beings that are born, the Almighty One is ever situated in his transcendental position and awards to the covetous ones the results of their actions. Some, O King, explain this karma, the workload of fruitive activities, as arising from one's particular nature or as brought about by others, O Protector of Man. Some say it is due to time, others refer to fate, while still others ascribe it to the desire of the living entity. Who, my dear man, can ever understand the intentions of him who is our origin, he of transcendence, who, from the non-manifest reality, gives rise to the different energies and natural forces? The same way, my son, all these followers of Kuvera, the divine treasurer, are not the murderers of your brother. Only God is the cause of the birth and death of a living being, my dear. He creates the universe and also maintains and annihilates it. Moreover, he does not get entangled by the activities of the modes of nature, for he, being free from false ego, does not identify himself with a material body. This supersoul, the controller and maintainer of all beings, brings forth, fosters, and devours, making use of the force of his external energy. For him, my dearest, he, the Supreme One of death and immortality, who in every respect is the ultimate goal of surrender for all the world, all the devotees and important personalities of creation bring their offerings, being controlled by him the way bulls are controlled by a rope through their nose. Only 5 years old, you left your mother, aggrieved at heart by the words of your stepmother, and went to the forest to worship the Lord with austerities. Thus you attained the highest position in the three worlds. Keeping him in mind, my best one, turn yourself, free from anger, to the one infallible spiritual self, the Brahman, situated in the beyond, and try, looking at the soul, to discover the uncontaminated state from which all that is divided is understood as falsehood, a mere covering. When you, thereupon, render transcendental service to the soul inside of the Supreme Lord, who, endowed with all potencies, is the unlimited reservoir of all pleasure, you will very soon untie the knot of illusion of I and mine, and this be firmly fixed. Just control your anger, the foremost enemy of goodness, and all good fortune will be yours. By constantly keeping to this lesson, my dear king, this directive will work like a medicinal treatment for a disease. An intelligent person who wishes his soul to be free from fear must never be led by anger, for everyone is fearful of the person ruled by it. By angrily killing the yakshas you thought to be the killers of your brother, you have slighted Shiva's brother Kuvera. Go and pacify him immediately, my son. Offer him respectfully, with gentle words, your obeisances, before the wrath of the great souls will defeat our family. Manu Swayambhuva, after thus giving instruction to his grandson, received from him his obeisances and departed together with the sages for his abode.